Okay, this is Daphne Nguyen Gimel now today, Emmett Sashan. So last time we talked about the gap that was between the text and the signatures that would be problematic. And in the end, we said, oh, how do you work it out? Signatures that would be written with a chaf and a lamed. So it really spaced out. So you got the avirim in between. Like if a chaf was like a chaf sofit was right above a lamed. That's how it spaced out. So the Gemara now asks, Rav Yirmiyah Baye Kamir Zira Chatimat Yosef ben Yanai. If you've got the name Yosef ben Yanai, it's all very nice except for the word yen, the ben, but they're all within the lines, and there's no letters going up and below. So what if they're like that? Do we then say, do we treat the space that is there differently? So the Gemara says that actually no, that we say in that situation that we do. Sorry, the question is, do you look like Chatimat Chol Ben Baruch? And we said yes, no. It's a standardized gap, if you like. Amar Lechen Chatimat Yosef Ben Yanai Chatimat Chol Ben Baruch. In other words, it's a standardized sort of text space plus the Arba Avirim, as we said. Okay. Now the Gemara says, which is like the space above and below. Now Shtar Shiyesh, good. Shtar Shiyesh Bo Machar or Tlot. Let's say you've got a contract that has something wiped out, or tlut. In other words, shetalat teva, this is a tlut here. Korban says shetalat teva b'nei shita. That is sort of a letter goes up into another line. Okay? So the Gemara now says that could be, then it could be, it could be pas, so ot lot bigufo, pas, or shlom bigufo kasher. What's gufo lo gufo? Gufo, Reb Chaim says, is betofes eshtar, the regular text, the standard text, not a problem. Sorry, that's when it's kasher. However, if it's that's shelo begufo. If it's begufo, that is the specific parts of it. Megufa, I skipped to sorry, korbaneta. Sorry, kogon makom hazman v'halov v'amalbe v'asach ha'maot, all the critical personalized parts that are critical parts of the document. So if that has a machak, or that has a tlut, as we said, actually the tlut is that's explanation, sort of a letter that runs through it. Tevot tluyim, that would be problematic only in the areas that are customized and specific and critical versus the regular standard text. However, the Gemara says, "Imichziru." However, if there was a summary at the end, so how's the document? There's a mahak at the top, and you might be concerned. Oh, did they change a name in the document? That's why we have to be concerned. Nonetheless, if it the ending line of the document says, "And so and so lent so and so the money on such and such a date." In other words, it's repeated at the end. Then you can see it's been confirmed. It was just a taot sofer as it go along, and he repaired it, and it's been confirmed at the end. However, Rav Yonah of Rav Yossi, Treyun Amrin, Tzarich Lachzur Shtei Shittim Makom Aktav. So again, lots of perishim on this, but the Korban Eder says here, but that's provided that what? That there is still a gap between the signatures and the text, meaning that extra line you put at the end. Why? Because I read the Korban Eder inside, and Tzarich Shiyo Bein Hachzarat HaMachak, the Vatlut, you know, that extra, if you like, synopsis, or at the, you're putting at the end the repetition that confirms all the contents, there has to be a gap of 2 lines. It can't, you, the extra line you're adding can't be at the very end, right? And then followed merely by the signatures. You need a special gap. Why? Because what could have happened? It could have been a kosher gap between the signatures and the text. What did a person do? They wiped out a little bit and then wrote in that gap the hachzara, the repetition, that it was so and so and so and so. So it could have actually been manipulated and forged. So Masharat Zavak, as I just explained to you. Like Bodley did, it was forged, it changed it and put in that little gap. However, if there's a gap between Hachzara and the signatures, there's no concern that there was a major gap such that he could forge it and then put that extra summary note. That's, if you like, the way the Korban explains this piece. The just for your benefit, the Penny Moshe here says, actually, meaning it's not related to the section we said before. I'll just read it for you. Now it's Klomar im yesh kan makom kalak shtei shitim, if ever there's a gap of 2 lines, that's a problematic gap. That's why Pnei Moshe explains it. You should lachzir bahem makom ktivat ashtar. You should sort of bekan, sorry, ktivat ashtar bekan nichtav. You should sort of enter an extra summary piece to fill the gap. Kadosh chalak ben ashtar la'idim. In other words, you should fill the gap with other, you know, summary notes, if you like. That's a different way of explaining altogether. Anyway, let's continue. The Gemara says, Rav Zira says, B'shem Rav, Tzrich Laskir Inyono Shel Get Imo. What's this referring to? Commentator says, on those two shittim that have Shiesh Beina Kiyum Lachatima, okay, Tzrich Shiaskir you have to, you can only, if you like, mention matters that relate to get. If are we going to start writing other matters that are unrelated, Yesh Lomar Shelo Ala Get Chatmo. Maybe the people say that one second, the signature at the end don't relate to the body of the actual body of the document above, but only the matters at the end. Illa davar shehu ha'u shekatuv b'shnei shittim acharim in the last two lines. You know, those last two lines critically have to relate to the get itself because we're concerned that the signatures have to relate to the actual document above it as well. That's why it says I had to know the word puzzle. So the Gemara says, Machlev shittir rabba, what are you talking about? Taman amar rabba b'shem rav yermia, eidim psulim einin nasim keherchek eidut. That Edim Sulam, you can use Edim Sulam to fill in the gap between, if there's too much of a gap, between the body of the document and the signatures. We saw that before. Because then it's clear they're only doing it to fill in the gap and not to act as witnesses. Now it says, and but what's the deal the Korbanator is making here? But one second, in this situation, that's not Inyan Oshel Get, which is, again, maybe slightly different to what we were explaining before. That's not Inyan Oshel Get, it's a concealed puzzle of signatures. So Gemara says, well, it's not a problem. Taman there it was named as Shem of Rav Yirmiyah and the Hacham Shem Rav. In other words, yes, it was these two main these statements were bought by Rav Ba, but it's not contradictory because he quoted different Rabbanim. So yes, the two different shittot conflict one are conflict with one another. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Kari ira alachitamata edim valchitamat yadei daim. So you've got a get that's been mekuyam, that's been certified. But now there seems to be an objection. A protest that this document was forged, even the Qiyum was forged. So Rav Baba Shem Rav Yehuda. So what you can do, I missed a bit. Simply, Rav Baba says, sorry, B'Shem Yehuda. Shechen im ratza lekayimo bechtav yada edim mekuyam ubechadav yadei hadayin im mekuyam. What you can do, it says you can simply, if you wanted to mekayim the get this dao document, either by substantial witnesses or by substantiating the dayanim. Either way would work. You know, if you confirm the signatures, fantastic. That's what you wanted to achieve anyway. If you've substantiated the dayanim, well, they're the ones that gave the certification to the document, so that would also work. But he adds, based on that, ani omer afilu be'edechad ube'dayin echad mekuyam, that according to his understanding, is that if you have one, if you substantiate one of the signatures of the edim and one of the signatures of the dayanim, well, that would work. Why? Because you've effectively got two edim or two signatures that testify the validity of the document. Either, you know, despite the fact they're taking on different roles, according to his opinion, they would join together. Now, the Gemara says, now this line here, I'm not sure in your Gemara, I didn't check before if you have this line yet. But this line, we have it here, printed here, the Pnei Moshe has it here, but the Korban Eda actually, actually brings up a few lines down, about six lines down. So we're going to skip it for the moment. And the Shinul Giriset says, this is in Ktav Yad Leiden or Tfus Filna, which I think what you've got in front of you. It's actually further down. So we're going to continue like you have the text in front of you, explain like Korban Eda. So the next line is, Yahiv Rashu Lektuba. So he gave Rishut, the husband told the sofer to write it, this contract, it's a shtar malva here, and the edim to sign it. However, what they did is they took their time and only did it a week later, or 2 weeks later, whatever it is. The problem is, what I have to do then is that even though the loan was on, say, Nisan, and let's say they only got around to writing the document and everything in Iyar, the problem is, since the date on the document would be Nisan, then you could, if the malva needed to get his money back and the lover couldn't pay, he could take him in nechasim meshubadim in the intervening time. But the problem is, what gives the person the power to take the nechasim meshubadim is the fact the document was drafted. That's what gives it the call, if you like. That's what gives it the knowledge. So therefore, the purchasers know what they're getting, the risk they're getting him into, themselves into, by lending money to this individual. Well, yes, lending money to this individual. Oh, sorry, purchasing property from this individual. Sorry. So therefore, what is it? What do you have to do? So the Gemara says, Rabba b'shem Rav Yirmiyan, tzrichin ha'edim lichtov ha'mal ve'hazot bechad benisan hu, v'anu charnu et zmano. Meaning, it has to be written in the document itself that, yes, we testified a fact the loan was in Nisan, but we only got around to write it and draft it and, you know, sign it and everything at this such and such a date. Okay, and therefore it can't, be used to take Nechazim Mishabim incorrectly. Now, Rav Zira says, B'shem Rav Amnuna, Ishrat Adayin Afilu Rechok Kama Kasher. That the Ishurat, now, before we had said, if you remember, that the Eidim have to be very close to the text of the document, be it a get or malveh, because we're concerned that someone might inject any extra pratim in the gap. That's what we said before. Now, but what's trying to say, the Ishur Adayinim, the certification of the judges, say this is a good document, that Ishur can have any gap. We're not concerned about that. Now, it's here we go back to, or you might actually in front of you right now, that it says, Amrav Mana V'yu'ut, is that really true? Shechen Im Ratzah L'kayamo Afilu B'Ketav Echad Mekayem. Says, but you're running a major risk. If we just said above that you can substantiate a document just by confirming the signatures of the Dayanim. So if you have a major gap between the Dayanim, the signature of the Dayanim, and the text of the document above with the signatures, what could someone do? They can just cut the document underneath where the document was. Then we've got a nice block of parchment with a certification of the Beit Din. And then they can just forge whatever they like. And if there's an objection, we just said, oh, just look at the, you can just certify this, the signatures of Beit Din, you've got to kosher document. So in other words, he's arguing with this and saying that even there's even a concern of forgery if you allow a document into the substantiated witnesses with Dayanim, right? The certification says, okay, now we know it's a good document, if it's ever challenged, then you run a major risk if you have a major gap between the Dayanim and the document, because once again, they can be severed and anyone could use it whatever they like. Right? That's why it has the, again, Korman explains it with having the Rav Mana statement here. Now the Gemara says, Rav Amar, Tzruchim adayim lichtov ishrenuhi b'madban ploni or ploni. That the certification that the Dayanim give to a document has to be done when they said, we did it in front of so-and-so, meaning these individuals that certify the signatures, that confirm the signatures and testify the signatures on the document. Okay? Yeah, no, you have to have the people. Why? Lama? Kidei, take out the word shalor, kidei yu mitsui lazim. Because if that's one of it, because we have to have the possibility that that we can find the witnesses that confirm the signatures being false witnesses. In other words, that gives us a possibility later on to say, okay, this is certified in Beit Din, but it's impossible because those people that came in front of Beit Din to say the signatures, okay, Imanu, they were with us at the time, or they never know this person. How could they have a clue? Okay, so the Gemara says, Matah, if that's the case, if you need what's called the Din Hazama, the potential to be found false, then also the Dainath would have to write in the so-called certification that what? Matah, filu be'ezez yom, or be'ezez sha'ah, or be'ezez makom, they'd have to have all the pratim, the date, time, etc. in it as well. So the Gemara says, Gzar din nafik, however, Gzar din nafik mekoim rab, v'lo habe katuv kach, that the either came before him or came up from his Beit Din from Perishim here. But even though Rav said this, there was a Ishur, like a star that came out of from before Rav that didn't have all these extra, confirmations of Zman and things like that. And in terms of in the confirmation, and nonetheless, it was seemed to be okay. Now, Gemara says, Amar Rav Chagai, Tzruchim Adayinim Mikrim Natin Nidonim, that the Dayanim have to know the people, the Nidonim, the Baalei Din, and the people involved in the contract, so the borrower and the lender, because otherwise you could switch the names and have the Dayanim to certify the signatures, and you can get to big problems. In other words, you could waive the forging documents. So Maisei Biziafu, we have an incident like that, and where they tried to work the system and forge documents in that way. Okay, so in other words, the closing out, most of the whole Amud, we'll be looking at trying to have, yes, we can rely on contracts and documents and certification. We've got to close out any loopholes, if you like, that someone could exploit, not loopholes, any sort of gaps, if you like, that can exploit to try and forge documents. And we basically close them all out. Now, this is Nun Gimel Amudet. Now, the Gemara says, Shar miktzata get faktuv bedaf hasheni. So let's say you're writing a get and you run out, it's a wide parchment, for example, like a Megillah. And you get to the bottom and you ran out of space, not a problem. You can continue on the next column and that would be fine. And the signatures will just be under the Edom just below it and then everything's fine. Gemara says, we have to explain what that is. Let's say the Edom was signed at the top, or minatzad, or me'acharei get on the back. If it's a get partial, it's partial. Because again, quite clearly, the signatures have to be at the bottom. Hekif rosh shel zeh betzad rosh shel zeh. Let's say you've got two documents where their heads are touching. So one's upside down, respect to the other. And you put signatures in between it. Because whichever way you write the signatures, upside, downside, whichever way, then neither of the signatures in the middle are not related to either document. Okay? So it's kind of like this. Okay? However, if a Rosh Hashanah betzad sofo shazeh, if you've got one underneath the other, shalzenim, va'edim lata, its signature at the bottom, well, then it's quite clear, etche edim nishnikrini besofo kasher, meaning if you've got, which is the bottom, those signatures only relate to the bottom get. And therefore, only the bottom one would be kosher. Clearly, if it was in between as well, then it would be related to the top get. Okay. Now, Gemara says, get your katvo ivrit ve'edav. Let's say you've got multilingual things. So the get is written in Hebrew and the edim are written in Greek. Or yavanit ve'edim ivrit, or other way around. Edechad ivri ve'edechad yavani, or one English, one Hebrew, sorry, one Greek. Edechad yavani ve'edechad ivri, doesn't matter the order, we say in that situation is kasher. The whole issue with the ivri, if you remember, and Ivri and Yavani, when you had two contracts side by side, that was a different issue. Let's continue. Ktav ha sofer ve ed kasher. Now, ktav ha sofer doesn't just mean the handwriting of the sofer. Importantly, here Korban says chatam ha sofer ve ed, meaning the sofer wrote it and he was one of the people who signed on the document. That is kosher. We'll have to discuss this when we get to the Gemara. Ish ploni ed kasher. If you just write Reuven ed, that's fine. If you write Ben Ish Ploni Ed, so this person's Reuven Yaakov, and just writes Ben Yaakov Ed, that's also fine. Ish Ploni Ben Ish Ploni, Velo Katav, and didn't write the word Ed after it, also it's fine. In terms of, there's a flexibility in the signatures we're seeing here, in terms of how they're written. Ktav Chanichato V'Chanichata Kasher. Now Chanichato, in the previously we've kind of been explaining it as like like the Pnei Moshe, which is like more Shem Kinui, like other nicknames or other references they're referring to. But it's interesting here, which is now the Perush actually, the Korban Eda says that it is the Shem Livui al-Shel Mishpacha. So rather writing so and so, they would write Cohen or my name, Bank here, like put at the end of it, right? So someone's name. So the surname, that's what I was looking for. So
It's very interesting because I have been in aid a few times just, yeah. And some of them are very makpid that you write your name, Ben, so and so, and some of them are very makpid that you write your family name as well.
After the Ben so and so, right?
Yeah, sure. At the
Correct.
end.
Correct.
With the family name. And
Yes.
there is no fixed rule to that in
You're
I
seeing a
find.
pattern in terms of Masada Kedushin or something.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Yeah. I think I've also done both. Okay. Gemara says, Shiar to get. So what's Mao Shiur? So if you remember, we said that you filled on a page, you ran out of space, and you continue on the next column. How much of a shiur do you need? Is it like what you know? Is it substance that they get? So Gemara, what's interesting here says, Amar Rav Yossi bar Beivun kagon kayam shariru barur. Even if it's just like in the bottom of our documents, we say shariru kayam. Shari is like firm, kayam is established, barur is clear, right? So even if it's just the last few words, it says kayam shariru barur, and that ran onto the next page, that would still be fine. Okay, and then you have the signatures. When I say next page, next column, really, sorry. Now Gemara says, get, now it's interesting here how you parse this piece as well. Get pasul pashut b'mukushar kasher b'vad me'acharav. So there's different ways to explain this. So the Korbaner takes out the poet pasul. It says, get mukushar pashut kasher b'vad me'acharav. What's that mean? Hachi pirushok. Ktav beget mukushar, eidav mitocho. You get Moshe putting the signatures on the inside. Then it's kasher bilvad shechatmu ha'edim gam ochrav. It's provided there was also signatures on the back. We talked about this before. And that was our piece. However, the Pnei Moshe actually says something different. He says, get pasul pashut means ame'chorav beget pashul kai. We're talking about signatures on the back of a get pashut. Kulomar ha de get pasul davka bepashut. Aval b'mukushar kasher, mukushar it's fine. Ubevad na'chorav provided the signatures on the back. Now, why is that important? We know that. A get mukushar signatures on the back. So Pnei Moshe says, Ein kasher bo ela me'achorav. Aval lo mitocho. I mean, if a get mukushar signatures inside, it's not kosher. The kamash melad, and therefore, what's the chiddush of the Gemara here? That's la'afukei mid Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel. That's to exclude the shiddush we saw before. The Amar Bereish get pashut, which is back in Bava Batra, says, mukushar shakatu v'edav mitocho. Kasher mipnei shechol lasot pashut. That was a shit if you remember that if you get mukushar with signatures on the inside, you can make a kasher because you just open up the stitches and it looks like a get pashut. So here it seems to be negative that. Okay, interesting. That's the way Pinoshe explains the piece. But Nibarana continues. Rav Amar, Hadayin chotmin, afal pi she'en yodim likrot. The dayanim can sign a confirmation on the get, even if they don't know how to read. Okay, meaning it's written in Greek, they don't understand Greek. Aval eina edim, but edim clearly have to understand the tochen, that's the content of the document they're signing against. Elim ken yu elim likrot. However, amar, meaning this is now Rav still speaking, yavo elai imasiti me'amar. I never, if you like, signed a document that I didn't. Not as obviously not as an aid, but as a dayan to a certain document, if I didn't understand what the content was. In other words, he feels it wasn't sufficient to certify a document just based on the aid and without knowing what the content is, understanding the content. So Amrav Chagai Kamei Rav Yosi lo ba Kamei Rav Yosi Ketav Yevani Mi'amav VeKayemu BeChotmav. He says the assumption was that he didn't know Greek. He says it's really possible. This is different explanations here, but. Here, where was it? Here, Loba. I'll show you the Korbaneta first. He says, Loba lafanav shtar katuv b'lashon Yevani ve'eda ve'vrit ve'kaimu b'tmiya. Ve'yada Rav Chagai shelo ayar Rav Baki likrot lashon Yevani. So the Korbaneta says it's like b'tmiya, but the Pnei Moshe. I'm not going to try and find it because I keep on losing my place. But he says that it wasn't b'tmiya. It says it would never happen. Like it's more asserted. Like it's a fact. One's a betmiya, and one's it's a fact. Okay, the Gemara says, "Matnita pligi al rav." Why? Because it says, "Get shekatvu ivrit ve'adav yevanit yevanit ve'adav ivrit ed echad ivrit ve'echad yevani kasher," which seems to imply that you don't. That if it's written one, that the implication is if the edim are writing in yevanit and the text is in ivrit, that they don't understand it. The Gemara says, "No, patala kasher hayu yodim likrot." It's possible they know how to read. But they didn't know how to sign. For example, I basically know how to read Arabic, but I don't know how to write in Arabic. Right? I'm not very good. If you put me to put it, I'd struggle a bit. So that would be, for example, the person knows that he might know how to read Greek, but he'd struggle to write in Greek, so he just writes his Hebrew name, Mashal Kazeh. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. But they didn't clearly have to understand it. Okay. If they know both, then they can do whatever they like. That's why you have Ed Echad Ivri, Echad Ivri, Yevani. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Elazar, Divrei HaKol Hi. Now this Divrei HaKol Hi, whereas Amar Rav Yochanan says Rav Yossi Hi, is again not a Parashimia. We're going to proceed with caution using going again according to Korban Eda. So let me just explain it here. What's Divrei HaKol Hi and what's Rav Yossi Hi? Now, you've got here Rabbi Yehuda, but Korban changes Rabbi Yossi. So he explains as follows. Dibra kol hi hadetnan ktav sofer ve'ed kasher. Meaning, if that's the, in other words, the way you explain the Mishnah, that if the sofer is one of the people signing that is kosher, what does Rabbi Lazar said? Rabbi Lazar said, that's Dibra kol, that's everyone agrees to that. However, we'll see what Dibra kol in a moment, but he says, so in Rabbi Yossi, why? Matniti chatam sofer ve'ed shaninu dehavale shnei edim. V'lo chayshina was no concern. He says, "What's Rev Yochanan says it must be Rabbi Yossi. Why? He says we're not concerned. Shema amar l'shnayim chtomu ve'umach makisufa the sofer amar lo lechtom. In other words, what could be the concern of a sofer signing it? The concern is maybe the husband actually told two other people to sign, but they felt a bit uncomfortable. This is an elderly scribe with a lot of kavod, or it's a rabbi or something like that. They felt a bit nervous and uncomfortable. So he said, yeah, he wanted you to sign. Okay? That would be going against wish of the Baal, the get would he passel. That could be a possible concern. Dematniti, so for our mission to say it's okay with the signature of the sofer, dematniti, it must be like Rabbi Yossi. Why? Because he's of the shita da amra mimli lo mimsarim shaliach. He's of the shita that says that meaning they can't pass on the instruction to the sofer to sign, even if the husband really told them to. Meaning you can have to receive the instruction direct from the husband. So therefore, there's no chisufa because if the sofer didn't hear it from the husband, he wouldn't have signed it. That's why a mission must be. The sofer knows that law that he wouldn't be able to sign it without the direct instruction. Okay, so that's what Rabbi Yossi is saying. He's saying the fact that that it must be Shita Rabbi Yossi. Now, the next line is important. It says, "Amar Rabbi Yossi lo bayit midat Rabbi Yochanan." In other words, don't be choshesh Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, palig b'shitato hishivuhu. Meaning, he was only presenting this opinion. That means what you're saying must be like Rabbi Yossi. In response, Rabbi Lazar. So let me explain. So I'll just read the commentator clearly inside again. Lo techa midivrei Rabbi Yochanan. Elo da'am Rabbi Yossi. Why? Mashma desfirale. You might think the mitzvah halacha is chatam so the desfirale la halacha chatam sofer shino. Ella no. He's not teaching the din within chatam sofer, the chatimat sofer. Ella l'shita the Rabbi Yezer shivo. He's responding according to the shita Rabbi Yezer. Why? Da'amat divrei akol. Now, what does it mean, Rabbi Yezer divrei akol? He says afilu tana kama dematnitin bepirikula el, meaning he said our mission is even like the tana kama in the previous parak, or not previous parak, earlier parakim. Sorry, halacha previous parak. Sorry, which is the tnan yesh bozman ve'ein alav edim. Kasher. That would be b'di'eved. And maybe here he's machshir lechatchila. Okay. So let's just piece it together. By Rebbe Lezer saying it's divrei akol, he's saying what? That this is also a lefit shitat chachamim or tanakama that said if there's only one signature on the document, then what? Then it is kasher but b'di'eved. The fact that we're saying here that it's kasher lechachila must mean it can't be just one signature. It must be al korchach. You're saying that it has to be chatam sofer, that the sofer also signed. And if you are saying that imken tzrichat alamokme, you must be like Shita Rabbi Yossi. Otherwise, you're choshesh because again the end of Shita Yossi that said milyon misu shaliach. Because otherwise, it'd be choshesh that he really instructed, if you like, the two ate him and they were embarrassed and they got the sofer to sign it. Okay, so let's just explain it again outside. Rebbe Eliezer said, our Mishnah is l'divrei akol. Everyone agrees with our Mishnah, which would also include, once again, the Tana that says, if it was ed echad, well then ed echad is really kasha b'di'eved. Our Mishnah says kasha l'chachila. So then if our Mishnah is just ed echad, because our Mishnah said, what is it? K'tav sofer ve'ed, then it's kasher. So if you're trying to say that fits kasher lechil with the previous one, it must be that the sofer signed it. And if it must be the sofer signed it, this only makes sense according to Rabbi Yossi. Otherwise, you have a chashash that they're not fulfilling the instructions of the husband. Okay, but again, Rebbe Lazar, Rabbi Yochanan's only responding according to that logic of Rebbe Lazar, Arazah the Amora. Because you could have it completely different. You could say a Mishnah isn't divrei akol, and a Mishnah is really talking about only one ed. And our mission is cholek with that the Tanakama in the previous perek regarding whether edechad is kasher lechilo b'di'eved with a chatam sofer, okay, with the ktivat sofer. Okay, that's the way the Korban explains that piece. Again, lots of different ways of explaining it. Now the Gemara says, now leorko du amar b'shem Reb Korban keeps leorko. I'll explain this in a minute. Du amar b'shem Reb Zira mekemen she'en matsui. He says. In matzu lezaveg afilu zivug kemi shelo zivug. So let's just explain what this means carefully. What he's saying is, we just learned in the Mishnah that if it goes over two columns and you have the signatures at the end, then it's okay. He says l'orko means for the length of it. I think it means, again, l'orko is not so clear what it means, but I think it's like in line with it. Okay? But we're not concerned what? We're not concerned that you could have the possibility, and I think the Bavli even addresses this. We've just said if it goes nicely down one, you ran out of space, you go to the next column and sign it. But it's possible what? You had two different documents. They were offset. The one on the right-hand side kept on going. The one on the left-hand side started much higher up. And what you did is you just simply cut the top and or cut the bottom. So really, that's not a coherent document. But what the Gemara is saying is you're not concerned for that ooh, you know, it just lined up absolutely perfect. Now, the whole Zivug, if you remember, this is learned back in the early Parakim of the names and everything lining up absolutely perfectly. We're not concerned for that Mamash Zivug lining up absolutely perfectly. So to here, we're not concerned that the one on the left-hand side ended at the perfect right time just by the beginning of the other document. That's why saying, Ein Choshim Zivug. Okay, the Gemara says, Kene Maniti Ish Ploni Kasher. So what this means is, if you remember in our Mishnah, we said Ish Ploni Ed Kasher. So what the Gemara is saying is that you don't even need the word Ed. If he writes Ish Ploni, it's kasher. Or if he writes Ben Ploni, without the word Ed again, like a Mishnah, it's kasher. Ish Ploni, Ben Ish Ploni, V'lo Katav Ed. In other words, the word Ed, if it's meeting in any types of permutation combinations, it's fine. Katav Chinachatov V'chanichatash Kasher. What's that mean? So Rav Avrav, which we refer to as either surname or the nickname, Rav Avrav says, B'shem Rav Yochanan, Afilu Katav Ani Kasher. Even he wrote just I, myself. Rav Avrav says, if you write Aleph, the first letter of his name, So there's a great flexibility with understanding a signature. Rav Chista used to write Samech. That was like a Chista Samech. That was his siman. And Shmuel Katav Charuta. He would, now Charav Turuta, he would write a Nafshel Dekel, Haya Metzayer. He would draw even a picture for a signature, like a branch, which was a siman for his signature. So the point of the Gemara at the end is what constitutes a signature. We're seeing great variability. It can even, not just a letter, it can even be a picture. And that would be for a chatimat eid, that would be sufficient. Obviously, not for the names of the people in the document, but the chatimat eid.
But then you can't trace that. I mean, if you need an aid.
Ah, okay. So that's the point. In other words, it must be for Chista and Shmuel, this was considered their unique, it was understood as that's their signature. It was recognizably theirs. We're not talking about a
Throughout
smiley. We're not talking.
the Jewish world.
It sounds like it. It sounds like it. Sounds like it. It's like a. It's not like talking about they did a little smiley face. It seemed to be that that was the. It was known. The doer. That's the signature.
Berle, like in I think the bakers, the personal bakers in Bova Metzia, that they had their own sign. And when they made a milchig bread or something, or just a bread, they did it of a fish or a triangle or
Okay,
something like that.
that's very good, but if the loaf of bread gets to another city, nobody knows
Right.
what
So
that means.
you're not gonna. I mean, you're not going to like take out a loan based on a loaf of bread. But it sounds to be here is that it was like yadua, that this was clear. It was clear.
Ain't it
I mean, the
oversoft?
shape of the letters
Ain't
and things
it
like that.
oversoft? There's Yossi Ben Avraham also in Petah Tikva, and there is also in Beit Shemesh and also in Beitar.
Yeah, but
So.
that's why the identification was based on Ketav Yado, the way it was written, someone's handwriting, the whole thing together. I mean, it's like when your kids try and forge your signature when they go to school, you can tell the difference. Right? It depends how good the
Don't
kid is,
accuse
but
your kids. We're talking about you, Rebbe, not your kids.
I wasn't talking about my kids. I was talking about your kids. Okay. So, all right, Kelsa, have a good day.
Thank you.
Okay.